Please turn to hymn number 182. Hymn number 182. There are lots of seats in the front and there are lots of seats in the balcony. Hymn 182, will remain seated and sing stanzas 1 and 2. Is Friday of the busiest week ever. This is the week we really, really focus on where we are in the moment, today, where I have to be in an hour, because it changes every day. Everything is new. We also, this week, think about the tomorrows. Am I in the right place? Are these the right classes for me? Is this truly the roommate that God intended me to have? So today I invite you to put all of that aside for a little bit and join me in looking backwards. Sometimes when we look at yesterday, it's a really comforting thing because it reminds us that lots and lots and lots of people have lived through today's and tomorrow's with great success and with happiness. And so with that in mind, we're going to talk a little bit about this place. Bethany Lutheran College was established as a woman's college or a ladies seminary. Now, if you go out on the front steps of Old Main, some of you know where that building is. If you are only in that part of the campus, you may never have gone over there unless you need something to eat. When you stand on those front steps and you look out across the valley, you see a couple of church spires. First of all, you'll see over to the left the single church spire of St. Peter's and Paul's Roman Catholic Church. It's a short walk down the hill. It's a beautiful, beautiful building. If you ever need a study break, I'd encourage you to go down there and spend 20 minutes to a half hour with the windows. It's phenomenal. But if you look straight out from the steps, you see a church with two spires. That's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. That church is really the reason that Bethany Lutheran College is here in Mankato today. When it was founded as a ladies' college, that was the pastor of that congregation and a group of other pastors and laity that felt there was a real need for a place for Lutheran young women to go and learn the skills that would be helpful for them as wives and mothers. In those days, the German Lutheran churches did have colleges and upper level schools, but they were all designed with the idea of training pastors and teachers. Never occurred to anybody that it would be a good idea to train the laity. So this college was founded for those women, and that large building, I mean, it really is big. If you take the time to walk through Old Main, start down in the basement and walk all the way up, it's huge. When that was built, they actually had to design ramps of dirt so that the horses could get pull the wagons up to the top floor. It was like the pyramids. And that's pretty amazing when you think about it. It's very easy for us to walk through and say, yeah, it's an old building with lots of cement. Well, that cement got there in the days before there were any big fancy cranes. I just can't imagine it. So there was this grand, grand dream that this would be a place where hundreds, if not thousands, of women from across the country would come for this finishing school. Included courses in the domestic arts, which would be cooking and things like that, as well as courses in music and the arts and in literature, so that they would really have a well-rounded education. The first year, it was a handful of students, 40-some, and they were lost once they finally were able to get into the building. When they first came to town, they were scattered all over town because the building wasn't finished. When they got in there, they were like ghosts because the building was so very, very, very large. It was maybe a good idea, but then something called World War II came too, but this was a done deal by then. The First World War came, and after that, this idea of a special school for educating women, it kind of deflated. So that by the mid-1920s, that enterprise was coming to a faltering halt. About that same time, there was a group, a very, very small group, of pastors and congregations, primarily of Norwegian Lutheran background, who decided they needed a place, a college, to ensure the survival of their group as what we call in Lutheranism a synod. And so they purchased the college, and Bethany Lutheran College appeared then on the horizon. And it was one of a handful of co-educational institutions. It was not dedicated to the training of pastors and teachers primarily. Some went through by accident. But it was actually designed for training the laity. Now, the story behind the name. If you still have your hymnal open to 182, that's great. Look at the second page of the hymn. And on the bottom of that page, we have the passage from the Gospel of Luke that tells us this story, which, if it's not familiar to you now, it will be. Now, it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him, that's Jesus, into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Now, when the college was founded for women and when it was taken over by the Norwegians for men and women, this motto remains at the heart of the school. Mary chooses the best part. She listens to Christ and his word. She encounters the word incarnate there at Bethany. That is the greatest thing of all. Martha, however, even though she was distracted by this busyness, this was necessary busyness. We need to eat. We need a roof over our heads. And in this particular instance, that was what she was concerned about. So the motto of the school embraces both kinds of service. First of all, the service of devotion at the feet of Christ, hearing and encountering the Word incarnate, and then the service to our fellow man. We continue to do that so that we can all become faithful Marys and Marthas in our time here at Bethany. One of the things that happened, of course, when the little Norwegian group, which we call today the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, took over the college. Again, the numbers were very small. Very, very small. Those early years were very lean financially. Very, very lean financially. And that continued for quite a number of years. We know stories of months when the faculty was not paid because there was no money to pay them. But they didn't close the school. So you think you're having a bad week. It's happened before. During that time, there was a long-term president. He wasn't the first president of the college, but he was here a long time. Sigurd Christian Ylvisaker. You see his name over on the building that we call the YFAC. And for 20 years, he did his best to keep the place afloat. Not just to keep the doors open, but also keep it true to its mission as a place where people would come and they would study really a classical education that would prepare them to be Lutheran lay theologians and Lutheran leaders in their parish, and also hopefully find success in the world, and many of them did. One of the things that happened during his tenure was that we got a school song, and he wrote the music for it, and we keep singing it. And you have that in a handout, I think. The Bethany song, is it there? Just as the story of Mary and Martha at Bethany figures prominently in art and other things around the campus, so also the image of the crucified Christ. We have it here in the chapel when the painting is open. It is there. It's on the processional cross. It's certainly on the altar. The altar cross, corpus, actually comes to us from a wood carver in the Czech Republic. The cross itself was built by the very first graduate of Bethany Lutheran College. So when this chapel was dedicated, that was kind of a cool connection with not only with the past, but also with some of our church's mission work in the Czech Republic. And sometimes people are a little bit offended or have questions about the fact that we celebrate so often the cross with the corpus on it. But we realize that that is how we see God's mind most clearly. God's wisdom revealed to us in perfect weakness. That is the picture of the greatest love that we can ever know. So that's why you see it depicted around the campus. That's why we also sing one of our hymns that has become a real important part of the Bethany tradition, especially through the college choir. Long before I came here, a director by the name of Alfred Fremder arranged a musical setting of this hymn, "On My Heart Imprint Thine Image." Now, as we sing this text, and those of you that have been around here a long time, we sing it frequently. But there's this line about the superscription. Now, if you look at the cross on the altar, you see there's this sign hanging above the dying Christ. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. When the painting is open, we see it depicted in all of the different languages that it was written in. And that's the superscription on the cross. And so what this hymn writer says is that we want to write a superscription just like that on the cross that's in our heart. And it does not say, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. But that superscription is a different phrase. And you're going to sing it right now. Hymn 593, "Let's Stand Up."